This is this incredible Gemara, 32, there's an extra one here, anybody wants it? 32a3, maybe you can share. 32a3, the Gemara continues this discussion of Abraham, the Parsha of the week, you have that? The left side, 32 Abraham 3, the Gemara continues its discussion, you can look in.
Where do we have an extra Gemara?
Well,
there's only one?
There's two, there's...
Is there any more here?
The Gemara continues its discussion of Abraham. Omar Rabbi Abu, Omar Rabbi Elazar.
There's only more, 32A3?
32A3, right. Masechta Nedarim. No more? Hidden somewhere? No.
No.
Why was Abraham punished? The $64 question, Abraham. Why was Abraham punished that his children had to be enslaved for 210 years? You hear what the Gemara wants to know?
It was announced 400 years even. Huh?
Okay, got reduced to what? 200 years, but why? Why?
Because the bucket of the Canaanite was not full.
What did Abraham... Ephraim, you're getting ahead of me.
Why Abraham was...
Didn't the Gemara read the Chumash? You hear Ephraim's kasha. What's the Gemara asking? Why we had to be in Mitzrayim 210 years? Yeah. Didn't the Gemara read the Chumash? The Chumash says, because the toilet didn't overflow.
Yeah.
So the Gemara means, okay, we could have been in Micronesia. Who said we had to be in the slime pits waiting for the toilet to overflow? We could have waited where? Where? Borough Park, in Texas, on a farm somewhere. Why do we have to wait in the slime pits of Egypt? That's the Gemara's question. Of course we have to wait for the sin to overflow the Canaan. Yeah. But we could have waited where? In Kentucky. Nice country there, a lot of cherry trees. Why in the slime pits of Egypt? That's the Gemara's question.
A lot of horses.
Right? Why do we have to be slaves? That's the question. Don't you see, Ephraim, the question? Yeah, we had to wait.
Shem Shemol said,
yeah, that's a beautiful steak.
Could have waited at the Grossinger's Hotel. You ever go to Grossinger's? You went, right?
Abraham and Sarah.
What? I went there.
Went there and overcame... sexual immorality.
All right, but let's see what the Gemara says.
And was able to give what they needed to their kids.
Well, let's see what the Gemara says. Why then we had to be slaves in Mitzrayim?
To give back to slaves.
You know why? Bibnei she'asa angariya b'talmida chachamim.
Yeah.
Because he conscripted Torah scholars to aid him in the war against the four kings to free his kidnapped victim. Nephew. Do you understand this?
Yeah, I understand, but I don't know.
After the four kings had taken Abraham's nephew Lot captive, he mobilized the IDF of his household, and he made an Entebbe raid, rescuing Lot. Oh, you're ahead of me.
What?
Don't get ahead of me. I don't understand. Pinyon Shvuyin is the greatest mitzvah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I don't understand.
So Leol gave you the answer. Because these guys didn't know which end was up. I mean, who do you mobilize for the IDF? And then Entebbe raid. Soldiers. These guys were bench quetchers. They were not soldiers.
No, they have been ordered.
No, they were Torah scholars. They didn't know which end of the rifle was up.
No,
that's what Gemara's gonna answer.
My mother teach military. Cooking, repairing.
He mobilized his trained men, those were born in his house. So look at the footnote 36. Abu understands the term as trained men to refer to Abraham he had trained in Torah, and faults him for involving them in the war instead of leaving them to continue their learning. Morale explains that had Abraham taken Duvdevani Brigade, Bibi's brother, who was the head of the, trained in battle, no problem. He should have taken trained soldiers. This would have been correct. For one is not allowed to depend on miracles. However, he took scholars who didn't know which end of the rifle is up.
They weren't fighters.
They were not trained in the ways of war.
I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover.
No, but how can 318 guys take on tens of thousands?
Yeah.
That's a miracle. It has to be right there in itself.
So since engaging such a multitude in battle with such a small force of untrained men, 318, could only result in success with a miracle, Abraham obviously knew that God would fight the war for him. That being the case, he did not have to take anyone with him at all. This was an indication of a minuscule imperfection in Abraham's faith that God would fight the war for him. For Abraham to be the progenitor of the Jewish nation, it was necessary for his faith to be totally flawless. For any tiny flaw in the root of a tree is more readily seen in the branches of the tree itself. Accordingly, God sent the descendants of Abraham to Egypt so that they would witness the wonders of Hashem and acquire what? Total faith.
Wonder. Well, miracle.
Abraham was their teacher.
Right.
He brought them along so they could see it. Hashem's miracles and improve their amuna.
Okay. But obviously, it's that's one reason why we had to be slaves. Mm-hmm. A second opinion. Huh? This guy goes to a doctor. One second. Second opinion. A guy goes to a doctor, Abraham. The doctor says, "I have bad news for you." He says, "I checked you out, diagnosis, you only have 6 months to live." Mm. The guy says, "I want a second opinion." The doctor says, "You're ugly too." Mm-hmm. Don't you get it? Want a second opinion? Says you're ugly too. Okay, now what's your question?
Isn't there one sheet to that if they take an army, they can only take the most religious people, and that way they'll be successful? They won't
have that's the whole point. Morale is making just the opposite. Ain't some canal and
ass. Yeah, I thought it was.
You have to take people that are trained for war. Since he took scholars who didn't know which end of the rifle is up, that's a punishment. That's the morale explanation of this difficult Gemara. Ain't some chenal
and s. Isn't there some other sheet in the Torah that you don't think?
I just know what it says in the book here. I don't know what people say, but this is what it says in the good book, Nedarim 32a.
Maybe he was trying to make
it. He was faulted for taking untrained people to war. God only helps those who help themselves.
Maybe
you should have taken the Duke Devani Brigade. Uh-huh. How do we say that? The Marines?
Yeah, but even 318.
But he had no more. But do what you can. Don't take guys who don't know which end is up.
But it's still a slaughter. How can 14?
Because you do what you, because you do what you do. The Six-Day War wasn't a slaughter. You had a million Yidden against a billion Arabs. That's not a slaughter. You do what you can. You get into the tanks and you fight.
No, but
the Six-Day War was the same miracle.
We were defending ourselves for our lives.
The same thing. He was defending his nephew. He was defending his nephew. His nephew's life was in danger. Mr. Robinson. He had to go after them. His nephew's life was in danger, Mr. Robinson. Another reason why we had to be in Egypt, Shmuel Amar. Gemara gives many reasons why we had to be slaves in Egypt. We had to wait for the toilet to overflow, but we could have waited in Grossinger's hotel. You know, I was there the last weekend in 1986, upstate, and I won a ping pong award. I still have the award. Maybe it's worth something. There was a ping pong contest. And I won.
You good for fun?
Really?
And I got a plaque with the name Grossinger's. Maybe it's worth it. I could sell it on eBay.
What year was that?
1986. Because Grossinger's is kaput now. People love nostalgia. You think I should put it on eBay?
Yeah.
I'm not joking. I have an award, a plaque.
It's amazing you can
ping pong champ of 1986. That was the last weekend. And I remember everyone got a bottle of champagne and a bowl of fruit.
I was 12 years old then.
1986.
Mm. They shut it down.
The unions bankrupted. The 20s, 30s, right?
Yeah. Now
the unions bankrupted.
You know what it is? Now it's bingo. Popper again.
The unions bankrupted it. So anyway, so we could have waited there. So another reason why we had to go, you have a second opinion. Shmuel Amar. Abraham was punished that we had to be slaves. So what's my fault? Because he presumed to ask for confirmation concerning the decrees of Hashem. Footnote 37. You want to read that?
Yeah.
When God told Abraham that his children would inherit the land of Israel, his reply was, "How shall I know that I shall inherit it?" Although the commentators explained that Abraham thought that the gift was contingent upon kindness, the rights of his descendants, and he meant only to ask how it was known, still, his question implied that God's words would need confirmation. For this lack of total faith, he was faulted.
Ooh. Harsh words.
Shenemba, mo'ed akirishenu. He says, how am I to know that I will inherit Pisgat Zev? God's promise ain't good enough for you, Abraham? Abraham, God promised us, Reuben, that we're going to have Pisgat Zev. So Abraham says, how will I know God's promise ain't good enough for you? So therefore, we had to go to Cairo and wind up in the slime pits. So what's it my fault? For this total lack of faith, Abraham was forfeit that we had to go to Cairo. Okay, another reason. A third opinion. God never does nothing for one reason, Reuben. It's always... Have you the combination sandwich? It's salami, turkey, pastrami, it's combo. No, it's never one reason. Now, Rabbi Yochanan gives another reason.
Reuben sandwich.
The Gemara wants to know why we had to be slaves in Egypt. We could have bided our time... What's the word? Joe Biden. We could have bided our time in Delaware. Nice community there, Wilmington. So another reason is, listen to this.
That's hilarious.
Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Shehifrish b'nei Adam l'konas tachas hashchina. Abraham was punished. How was he punished, Reuven? That we had to go be slaves in Cairo. Because he distant people. Abraham was the Mr. Kiro, wasn't he? Outreach. But he distant people from being able to enter under the wings of the Shechina. Shenemar, because the king of Sodom said in this week's parsha, after successful war against the four kings, the king of Sodom offered to divide the spoils of war by taking the prisoners for himself and giving Abraham the booty. Abraham refused to take anything. He said, keep it all.
Just give me
my nephew back. Ten Leah Nefesh. The king of Saddam, who was the king of Saddam? A real pervert. He said, give me back the people and take the possessions. By consenting to allow the prisoners of war to remain in the possession of the pervert of Saddam, Abraham missed a fantastic opportunity to teach them the ways of Hashem.
He could have carved them.
Oh, if Abraham had taken the prisoners, he would have been able to teach them the ways of Hashem.
But he didn't.
Oh.
He had too much on his mind. He couldn't do anything, Rabbi Shmuel.
Instead, he allowed them to go back to the homo clubs of Saddam, Sodomy.
I think he's afraid they're going to...
He was afraid,
people with all their...
So therefore, Abraham, his fault lay in the fact that he failed to take advantage of an opportunity to pass his faith on to others who would come under his control. So what's the tikkun, Reuven? The tikkun is that we, his kids, had to go to Egypt. For as the verse relates, many people converted to Judaism at the time of the Exodus. That's the tikkun. Ooh.
Yeah, but it didn't help us because they went back.
They went back. What is it? They're the ones that caused all the sins in the Midbar.
Not all.
The Arab Rav.
Not all of them.
The Arab Rav caused a lot of problems.
Pharaoh's daughter is one.
We're still causing a lot of problems.
Huh?
We don't know.
What did the Arab Rav?
What did the man say?
What?
You know, God always... We don't punishment. Tikkun. Abraham missed a fantastic opportunity to be Makariv by allowing those prisoners to go back to the homo clubs. So how do we make up? We had to go to Mitzrayim in order to attract Gerim to be Metakein, the missed opportunity that Abraham could have made Gerim. So then Reuben asked the Baam Kasha. Reuben said that Rashi and Chumash says many times that all the tzoras in Mitzrayim, all the tzoras in the Midbar, came from these phony converts.
That's a conversion.
So how is it a tikkun? So Eliyahu gave the answer. There were thousands of phony converts, but there was one real true convert, Batya Bat Paro. It paid to go to Mitzrayim to extract one diamond from the schmutz. Mm-hmm. Even though there were thousands of phony converts who caused us tzoris, it paid for Hashem to discover one diamond. Who was the diamond?
Bate
Bas Paro.
She said Moshe's life.
So what do you see? One true convert is worth thousands of phonies. It's a powerful message. There's a powerful message over here. The way God counts is not the way we count.
Right.
It was worth for Hashem that we should go to Mitzrayim with all the suffering and all the phony converts that we attracted that built the Egel and they instigated all the tzoris. It's worth it to Hashem to attract one genuine convert. Batya Bat Paro. So we say God, the way God counts is not the way we count. Avram, it's mind-boggling. It's a powerful message over here.
We wouldn't have the Yom Suf.
It's a powerful message over here.
We wouldn't have the Yom Suf. We wouldn't have
one
Moshe Rabbeinu doing what he had to do. If Avraham would have done what he had done, the whole script would have been completely rewritten.
The Rambam goes on with this, right? Reuven, the Rambam asks the Kasha, why does God allow... You look at these ancient buildings, these giant pyramids and these humongous structures that were built by wicked, wicked kings and dictators. Why did God allow all of this energy, this expense? Nothing happens. Why did God empower these wicked, wicked kings throughout the ages to build these humongous structures? What's the cheshbon? These evil, wicked people building such fantastic monuments that's still around from thousands of years. You know what the Rambam says? God knew that throughout the ages there would be one righteous person who would rest maybe 5 minutes his weary bones on one of these structures to take shade from the sun, or he can lean his back for 5 minutes on a weary journey, and he would lay down in front of the pyramid to take some rest. So it's worth it for Hashem to allow these wicked people to build these structures that last through these centuries, because one time, one tzaddik will what? Be able to lean against it and take... What's the word? Respite? What's the word?
Take shine on.
Yeah? The way God looks at things is not the way we do. It's kedai for Hashem to allow these wicked people to build these giant pyramids, because once in the ages, one righteous person will rest his weary bones against these pyramids to hop a few minutes of shut-eye. It's kedai for Hashem. So you see, God tells the prophet Isaiah, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Plus, Jews built it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jews built it, right?
The Jews.
So why did God allow it?
The Jews did not build all the pyramids, by the way.
We built a lot of them, no?
Yeah.
Not all of them, though.
Yeah, built a lot of them. It was their wisdom. Right. Yeah, they just copied the rest.
Yeah.
It was their wisdom. It's like the Great Wall of China. Who built that? Jews.
The Great Wall. Chinese Jews?
It was a time of Yeshua.
What is it called? The Menashe?
Menashe. Oh, yeah.
They sing a song. I know my friend married one of these people from India, B'nai Menashe, and they have a song of how they left Israel and all the stops.
The Nehemiah?
Yeah, Nehemiah. So they have all the stops that they
went. Yeah, that's awesome.
And one of them they sing was the Wall of China. That's where they one of the stops along the way.
Yeah,
it was the world's
largest pizza.
See all these great monuments, and somehow the Jews were involved.
Okay.
Who do you think all the spies that went
it's
out
the same
for Yeshua
thing,
yeah.
Look
ninjas.
At the rockets, things going to the moon. It's like today's pyramids. It's all Jews. They invented everything.
You know, alright, let's take a look at the
1,000 years. The ninja.
Okay. So the Gemara gives you a few reasons why we have to be Mida Keneged Mida. We missed an opportunity to make Gerim. Abraham did, so we had to go to Mitzrayim to make one genuine Ger. Who is that, Ruvain? Bat Yabas Paro. Okay. Yes, sir.
So Abraham's criticized for not making Gerim here?
Yeah.
But then when Moshe accepted all those Gerim, he's criticized for doing that, right?
Yeah.
So how do you explain that?
Because he didn't screen them. Moses didn't screen them properly. Maybe Abraham had a chance to screen them, and he didn't.
He screened them and said,
He screened them.
Let me see.
He didn't screen them.
It's like the 10. He said, if I can find 10, well, I couldn't find 10.
No, but here's different, because they owe their freedom to Abraham. It's cold. You can close the window. They owe you when to close the window if you're cold. It's like a shot. You can close the breeze.
This chair.
You like the breeze?
Hey, Ben, you want to close?
No, he's cold.
Like for breeze?
No, someone is cold.
You want to get in here?
What's he saying, Ruben? He's saying this. These people would be so grateful to Abraham for saving their lives and giving them their freedom, they would want, they would do what Abraham would say. They'd give up their homo clubs. Abraham blew a fantastic opportunity.
Yep.
And therefore, we had to be metaking that by going to Mitzrayim to attract Gabriel, right? It ain't over till it's over. Okay, let's take a look at some halachot. The Gemara Nida says anyone who learns halachos every day, muftach lo shu ben olam haba. You have to learn halachos every day, halachot. Muftach, the Gemara Nida 73 says, whoever learns halachos every day.
Oh, not these books.
What? What's wrong? These books are great.
They're horrible.
What are you talking about?
They're beyond stringent, beyond stringent, beyond stringent. To machmir.
What these books?
I like picture books.
This is called show and tell.
Pop-up.
Keep passing down.
Pop-up books.
What?
Pop-up books. Yeah,
pop-up books.
Yeah, I remember them.
Wait a minute. The Mishnah says every Jew has a share of olam haba. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Muftach lo shu ben olam haba. Every Jew has a share. Every Jew has a chelik in olam haba. But if you want to be a ben olam haba, the difference between getting a portion and being a ben.
Oh yeah, you're not a crutch and
ben
walk on dry leaves on Shabbos.
You know what?
Walk on dry leaves on Shabbos. If you
Which page?
Kuf Mem Vav.
Kuf Mem Vav.
Yeah.
Kuf Mem Vav. Kuf Mem Vav. Okay, Kuf Mem Vav. Amen. Kuf Mem Vav. Meleches Kotzer. That's the middle of the book. Page number Kuf Mem. There's a Kuf Mem Vav here. You see?
Yeah.
Kuf
yeah.
Mem Vav. I'm reading the top of the page. Mutar b'Shabbat lelechet al alei.
Oh.
Alei shlachad yaveshim. It is permitted on Shabbos to walk on what? On dry leaves. Afilu shehem nishborim derech leaf. Even though you're breaking them when you're walking, there's not a problem to walk on detached dry leaves, even though you'll be breaking them. You're allowed. The ein b'zeh mishim isser kotzer. And there's no problem of cutting or tearing because it's tamushim. What does tamushim mean?
It's already there already.
They're torn off.
Right.
They're torn off.
Yeah.
So look at the guy in the bottom here. What's the guy doing? Halicha al gabei aleishem. Muteres b'shabbos. You're allowed to walk and crunch torn leaves, dry leaves.
Can you jump in a pile of dry leaves on Shabbos?
Yeah. Hakko is not called tochen. Hakko is not called grinding. Grinding is also not. Dovah sheinu mischavin. That's not the way you grind. Okay.
That's not a problem. You're a rhyme or a new halacha.
Yeah.
Good.
Now, what's the guy doing here in the next page? He's cutting. Cutting off branches on Shabbos, you're over the Issa Kaitzer.
Right.
Cutting. Before you get to the burning, cutting or tearing attached branches is an Issa of Kotzer on Shabbos.
Right.
Over the Issa derives of Kotzer, right? Of cutting, tearing. Yeah. Now, on the next page, you cannot pick fruit on Shabbos, of course, right?
Right.
It's kosher. You can't cut
even if it falls on Shabbos,
it's muksa. Very good.
Muksa. What about yam tov?
Same thing.
Right.
If a fruit falls from a tree on Shabbos on yam tov, are you allowed to eat it?
No.
You allowed to eat the matzah Shabbos. Why can't you eat it on Shabbos?
It's nolad.
It's muksa. It's nolad. Excellent. It's nolad.
Nolad means it was born?
Born. Nolad is a form of muksa. It fell down on Shabbos, it's nolad. If it fell down on Friday, you could eat it. But you don't know if it's, you don't know. So you say it fell on Shabbos, so you have to wait till Matzah Shabbos, otherwise you can't eat it. It's muktzah, nolad muktzah.
Nolad.
Now the next page, what's the guy doing?
Breaking off of a broken limb.
Yeah.
Limb.
You can't do that. It's kaitzer. You can't break a limb on Shabbos of a tree.
Oh, it's already broken already.
Even if it's already broken. It doesn't matter.
Them.
It's still usher on Shabbos.
Right, right.
It's still usher on Shabbos. It's kaitzer. Kaitzer. Reaping. Okay. Reaping. Okay. Mm-hmm.
extracting water from a plant on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah, what's he doing in the next page?
Looks like he has some kind of pan under the flower of basil.
Go to the bathroom.
Yeah. No, he's not going. No.
Go stand in the corner.
No, you're not allowed to flower. You're not allowed to water in a plant.
Right,
shop.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
you're not allowed to smell flowers on Shabbos. This guy,
yes, you are.
What's this guy doing in the picture here?
You're allowed to smell flowers. No, he's
going to the bathroom. He's watering it.
He's watering it.
Yeah.
Form of watering it. You're allowed to smell flowers.
But on the left hand side, he's not watering it. He's staying there. He's taking a whiz.
He's taking a leak.
He's watering it.
He's watering it, huh?
Right in the basement window there.
Oh, are you allowed to urinate on grass on Shabbos? You're watering the lawn.
Yeah.
No, but urine.
Urine.
Actually, you're not really watering it. Actually,
you're not watering the lawn because urine doesn't make it grow.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, water.
Exactly.
It's water still.
No,
still
but water. Your urine is.
You can drink it.
No, yeah, but your body's different than a plant, man. A plant is gonna see that. Ah!
Let's go to page Kufnun Vav.
Kufnun
Vav. Ain kufnun vav ain l'talkel b'shabbat balachayim. You're not allowed to move a living animal on Shabbat b'shem shemukta. You hear? You can't move a balachay on Shabbos, even your own. See the caption under the kiltul b'shbalachayim b'shabbos osa b'shemukta.
You can't pick up your animal on Shabbos.
You're not allowed to pick up your animal or any animal.
No, let's say let's say you have a little doggy and you're sitting
in
your house.
You're not allowed to.
And it comes up and jumps in your lap.
Okay, you're not allowed to move it.
You can't move him.
No, osa b'shemukta. The rabbis say that a balachay is mukta on Shabbos.
But why? What's the point behind that?
I don't know.
You know why?
Why is it mukta?
Because animals who have fur and hair. Yeah. Animals who have fur, if you move the animal, you're going to pull the hair out of the animal on Shabbos, and that's causing becoming
mukta. But any animal, you don't want to.
No. Yeah. If you have my mom checked with Rabbi Goldberg. If you have an animal that has hair, it doesn't shed.
Now look
you don't
at the,
have to worry about pulling the hair.
No,
that's
look at the next
ending.
Picture. You're not allowed to even touch a balchai on Shabbos. You see the next picture?
Because they have fur.
Oh,
the hair pulls out.
The animal has fur.
Because the hair pulls out. The fur pulls out. If the animal has hair on it, you're allowed to hold it and touch it on Shabbos.
Now, the Mishnah Brura quotes the Vilna Gaon. Pasuk like the Rav HaMagid. That touching mukta is mukta. The Isser is moving mukta. You know, a lot of people don't know that, Ruben, you have a picture? You don't see the picture? Of the camel. Kufnun Zayin. People don't know. The Isser is to move mukta.
Come on.
There's no Isser to touch mukta. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Vilna Gaon who paskens like the Magid Mishnah. Shenigia mutaras. You're allowed to touch mukta. You're allowed to touch an animal on Shabbos.
Car.
You're even allowed to touch a car and money on Shabbos. The Isser is only one.
Take care
moving,
of it.
Moving. Yeah. You can't move mukta. You're allowed to touch mukta on Shabbos as long as you don't move it. So if the animal's not going to move, you can touch it.
Unusual way, like.
That's only if you need the space for an extra guest.
I know a rabbi that left the keys there.
They should have given
it. It was Shabbat.
Okay.
So he had his two boys.
That's only Mishas Adchak. Right? So the Isser is moving Mukta. There is no Isser to touch Mukta.
You can't move an animal.
Right. What about touching an animal? If the animal's not going to move, you can touch it. But by touching it, you're going to move it, then you can't even touch it.
Okay.
Unless the animal's tied down. Right. Yeah.
Did you find your wallet?
Yeah.
Where'd
you find it?
Some guy found it 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, of course,
yeah.
Yes, the cup.
Was it all the stuff in it?
Everything.
Well, wow.
But I canceled my credit cards, but everything. I don't have to go
thank you very much.
I don't have to get
what is it, zero? Let me see.
Yes.
Zero? What does zero mean?
No sugar. Since I have to go to the medical card, I don't have to sweat.
Was there money in it or anything?
Nothing, just credit cards.
And nobody touched it?
All my
zero.
You're lucky.
Big miracle.
Yep.
But you said there was 2 things. Your wallet.
It's 2 dad suits. With all his documents, his medical card, all his other stuff.
Somebody just picked them up and threw them down there?
No. I left them down there. Mark gave me a massage on a bench, and I took my wallet out of my pocket so it wouldn't like throw up my body. You know. So I put it under the bench in front of me.
So let's go to page Kuf Nun Ches.
Got it.
Kuf Nun Ches, Reuben. You have a picture? Ain rachi b'shabbat al gabei sus.
My fault.
O shabbat chayim.
I didn't see you take it out of your pocket.
Thank you very much.
There's a picture of a guy on the
table. I didn't even.
Yeah, what's he doing?
No, he's not. He's serious.
How can he blame you? He's the one.
No, because
you can't ride an animal on Shabbos because we're afraid that watch you're gonna tear off a branch.
It looks like he's picking olives.
Even though there's no branches around, you know, a ride an animal Shabbos, even when there's no chashav, you come to tear, you see? See this? Well, thank you.
Sure?
Yeah. Gotta watch my sugar.
Sugar, okay.
Gotta watch my sugar. Now, if you turn, take a look at the next page, Kuf Samach. You can't ride in a wagon on Shabbos. I mean, you see that, Romain? You can't ride in a wagon. Page Kuf Samach Aleph.
Why can't you ride in a wagon on Shabbos?
Muktzah.
How's it muktzah though?
You're using a behemah.
Well, behemah. That's right. Oh, that's why they have supposedly with electric cars.
In Kuf Samach Aleph, you can't put a beged on a behemah on Shabbos. See what the guy's doing with the sheep?
Yeah.
You can't put a beged on behemah on Shabbos.
Eating something. I don't
you can't do that either. Okay. Now Shabbos, you have to feed your animal before you feed yourself.
Yes.
You can't feed a stray animal, but your own animal.
You do that every day.
Even your goldfish, you have to feed before Shabbos.
But you can't feed an animal that doesn't belong to you on Shabbos. You know that?
Right. It's muktzah. So I can't feed a stray cat.
You cannot feed a stray cat on Shabbos. It's muktzah. You have to feed your own cat before you eat your own children. But a stray cat, you're not allowed to feed the behemoth on Shabbos.
I got a question.
Rabbis say it's muktzah.
The Rebbe Shpector, there's a lot of cats here, a few of them. That we've known for many years.
You adopt him.
That roam the yeshiva. We feed him all the time for many years.
If you adopt him.
So in a way, it's not really a stray cat here.
Putting it at the dumpster.
Yeah, but not supposed to do that.
And the animals eat it.
No, but it's certain cats that we feed that we know.
You're not allowed to feed an animal that does not belong to you. It's usher to feed on Shabbos.
Can you take trash out on Shabbos?
Yes.
And take a bag of trash out?
Yes. Why? Good cats, mos.
Because
the rabbis say it should be muktzah, but it's not, because it's mos.
Mos is.
Mos means it's disgusting. It takes away from your own Shabbos.
Yeah. So if I got a bag,
you are permitted to take trash out on Shabbos.
Okay.
Because it interferes with your Einik Shabbos.
Okay, so if I have a bag of it, it's got chicken skin in it and chicken bones.
Any garbage you're allowed to take out on Shabbos.
But if I take that
if
out,
it interferes with your Einik Shabbos,
you're not going to get
make
out.
Sure you put it
you're
in the dumpster.
You're not
going
to get out of it. You have to take it.
But if I.
But what?
Your wife? You can't
don't tell my wife about this. No. But if I take that and I put it in the dumpster, you know the cats are going to get into it, neither.
Doesn't matter. You can't put it inside the dumpster, but you don't put it outside the dumpster.
Right.
You're not allowed to feed stray cats on Shabbos.
Okay.
You put it inside the dumpster, it's not your problem.
Right. Okay.
As long as you put it inside the
put
dumpster.
What inside dumpster?
Garbage.
You can take
Shabbos,
garbage out.
You're allowed to take garbage.
You can't feed the animals on Shabbat, even wild cats. You can't
feed stray animals on Shabbos.
The thing is, what I love is, I throw stuff in the dumpster, and the cats are in the dumpster.
As long as it's in the dumpster.
Right, your intention wasn't. Your intention was to throw the garbage out.
Yeah.
Now, Ma'amar.
What if you have a feeder that automatically goes off every day?
What does a feeder mean? What's the time of
that? A feeder, like we're in the ranch. We have feeders.
Oh, yeah.
You throw feed out every day. You can feed it.
You can't do that to only animals that belong to you.
No, from the ranch.
But it does it on its own. It's automatic. Every day it throws
it out. So it's a grumma. Grumma on Shabbos is permitted. It's a grumma. As long as you don't do it. How do Shabbos clocks go on? How do Shabbos clocks go on Shabbos? They turn on your lights, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Your lights.
Timers. Right. Shabbos
timers. You can turn on a blech.
What?
You can turn on a blech.
With a Shabbos clock?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a machlokas Ashkenazim and Sfardim poskim, okay? But you can turn on a blech on that. I mean, with the Shabbos clock. That's machlokas Ashkenazi and Sfardim poskim.
Why not? Why
whether you can use
wrong?
Electric timer on what?
Who said you can't?
The Sfardim poskim say, why is it different than what?
Making a fire.
Then why is it different than having your clock your air conditioner on at times.
Yeah. Right.
So the Sfaradim Poskim say that just like you're permitted to set a timer to turn on your air conditioner and turn on your light, you're also allowed to put a timer to turn on your blech.
Yeah.
Because it's like turning on the light with the Shabbos clock.
Hot plate, right?
Right.
Right.
Hot plate. Right.
That's the Sfaradim Poskim. Ashkenazi Poskim say no, because there's Maris Ayin. Why is there more Maris Ayin in that than having your air conditioner go on?
Who's this guy Maris? I don't like
Maris the Ayin. I don't know.
Can I tell you something, Rabbi Shrecker? Ashkenazi, I've noticed. They're so.
I'm more machmir.
They're so panicky about more sign, more sign.
I'm also very machmir, Rav. I tell my wife machmir dus, machmir dus.
Ah,
machmir. You don't know. You have to.
Don't be more religious than God.
Now, Malachas Ma'amer. A lot of people are confused. Look at Kuf Samech Tes. What's the guy doing? Kuf Samech Tes, Ruben.
He's pouring grapes into a sheet.
No, he's not. He's making bundles.
Making grapes. He's grapes
not
there.
Making bays. Malachas Ma'amar.
Right, he's wrapping grapes.
What's this one?
And a tent. And a thing.
You what see? Kuf Samech Hay.
Kuf Samech Hay.
He's separate. Yeah, there's a man with a seeing eye dog.
I've done this before in kibbutz, actually.
No.
He's separate.
Here, we said you can't use an animal on Shabbos.
No.
But a guy Nebuch that's blind, he is permitted to what? To use a dog on Shabbos. Even though normally you're not allowed to use an animal on Shabbos. But Nebuch, a person that's blind, is permitted to use the dog on Shabbos.
Is he permitted
the rabbis
to
are not guys. The rabbis are not geyser. The rabbis are not geyser. The rabbis were not geyser when it comes to a blind guy, Ruvei Neva. The rabbis say that you're allowed to use an animal if the person is blind. They wave a wave the muksa, so the rabbis do. Wow. Wow.
There's a blind guy.
Yeah, do you think they'd be a little strict because of a blind man? A blind man is potter for many things, actually.
No, he's not. So the rabbis wave away the Isser Mukhtar.
When it comes to
a blind guy, the rabbis wave away the Isser Mukhtar and say a blind guy, unlike other people, is permitted to use an animal on Shabbos to help him see. Because it's Issa Muksa the Rabbanan, and the rabbis will wave it away because the blind person cannot manage without what?
Man, what if he's blind and deaf?
Without
he's
what?
Putter for many things.
What's Saginor?
Saginor is a Saginor is an oxymoron. Saginor means he has too much light. How does the Talmud call a blind person?
Saginor
means he has too much light, which means the opposite.
Yeah.
What's it called? An oxymoron? Who are you calling a moron? The Talmud calls a blind person a saginor, David. Saginor means he has too much light.
So
much light that he can't see. That's right. That's
right.
So you see, the rabbis are compassionate, Ruvain. And they wave away the Isser Mukhtar for a saginor. Okay. Now, let's get to Ma'amar. Kuf Samech Tes. You need a book? Anyone need a book? Ruvain. Seeing is believing, they say. Kuf Samech Tes. What's the guy doing? Who wants to read the headlines? Any volunteers?
Malachas Ma'amar.
Ma'amar means making bundles on Shabbos. This is a tricky one.
What page is that?
Kuf Samech Tes.
One of the 39 malachas on Shabbos is called Ma'amar. Ma'amar means bundles.
Right there. Yeah.
Making bundles, okay?
How is that making? Where are you making bundles?
Making bundles. He's having them all going to one pile. Ain't he? He's
having all.
Yes, it is. It's piling them up. Bundles mean making piles. Remember Gomel pile? Gomer pile.
We always said bundling.
Well, let's take a look.
Gathering together and like tying together.
So let's see what it says over here.
Like hay
Let's see what this guy is doing here.
That's why, what's he saying was killing? Remember, because he bundled sticks on Shabbos before on Yom.
That's right. The guy was collecting sticks on Shabbos. Ma'amar was making bundles.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's take a look over here.
That's a bundle.
So let's see. Min HaTorah, what's the Yisra on page Kuf Ayin? What do they do in the Mishnah? What did they do? Remember, Ruvei, the 39 malachas come from constructing the Mishkan.
Right.
So where did this happen in the Mishkan? Page Kuf Ayin.
In the Midbar.
Heichin hoita b'mishkan. You see the heading or you don't?
Yeah.
Heichin, Ruvei, read. Heichin hoita b'mishkan.
Eichen, Eichen, oh, I missed him. Ladas, Rashi.
Baharambam.
Baharambam. Malachas, Mayor.
Ma'amar. Where was the Malach of Ma'amar? In order for Malach to be forbidden on Shabbos, it had to be in the Mishkan. Where did they have bundles in the Mishkan? Basifas Hasamimanim. Remember, they used a lot of dyes in the Mishkan. What did they dye? They dyed the skins, and they dyed the clothes of the Kohen. So after they gathered, after they cut the samamani, means what? How do you say samamani in English?
Spices.
They cut these. Then they gathered them together, and then they ground them up. So gathering together is av malacha. Okay?
Yeah.
Or they gathered the amanachot.
Gathering sounds more right.
Gathering. Asifa. Asifa
we
means gather.
Gather together.
Yeah, they gathered together the samamanim. After they cut these plants that contain dyes, they gathered it together. Like the guy gathering sticks in the wood. So maybe making bundles is not correct. Maybe the ma'amar means gathering.
Right.
Gathering.
Where I come from, it's not bundles.
Okay, gathering. Avas malachas. Asifas gedila karka. So I'll translate in Hebrew and English to go faster. Gathering what grows from the ground.
Uh-huh.
That's the av malach. If you gather what grows from the ground, where it grows, that's the issur of gathering on Shabbos.
So
now in the Mishkan, after they cut these plants, they gathered them together.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the gathering. Okay. Now the Rambam told us malacha. What's the offspring of this malacha? You see the Rambam told us a malacha. Kosef Rambam. You're not following Rabbi Yaakov, are you? Kosef Rambam Hilchas Shabbos. Hamikabed Develav Osem Menu Agula. Someone gathers together figs and he presses them into a cake. That's Ma'amar on Shabbos. He takes a bunch of figs or dates and he presses them together on Shabbos. That is Ma'amar. That's Ma'amar, okay? Ma'amar means gathering together, right? Gathering together things that grow from the ground, right? Ma'amar. Okay, yeah. Now, min ha-Torah, if you turn the page. Min ha-Torah, kufayin bet. Dinei ha-Malacha. Dinei, what are the laws of gathering?
On the beach.
Now, to be oiver from the Torah, you have to have things that grow from the ground, where it grew the first time. See, to be oiver ma'amar arvam min ha-Torah is very restricted. You have to gather things that grow from the ground, base where it grew, and the first time. So therefore, let's say you gather stuff not where it grew. Let's say you gather scattered fruit in your house.
Yeah.
Or you gather stuff that didn't grow from the ground. Let's say you gather salt. Or you gather eggs from a chicken coop. Yeah? You're only over gathering the Rabbanan.
Yeah.
You're only over gathering the Rabbanan.
Still forbidden.
We practice forbidding Judaism.
Yeah, but if you need to eat,
so listen
survive.
To this. Gathering eggs. Collecting eggs from a chicken coop on Shabbos, David, is also the Rabbanan of Ma'amar. Gathering eggs from a chicken coop on Shabbos is also the Rabbanan. Look at the picture, Ruvain. What's the guy doing?
He's gathering seashells.
No, he's gathering salt. So it's Isser the Rabbanan Ma'amar. The guy in the picture is gathering salt.
Why is that separate?
Because salt doesn't grow. The Raisa Avram, it's only Gedule Karka. The Raisa is only Gedule Karka. Salt is not Gedule Karka.
So why do rabbis have to go and do it?
No, the rabbis have to make a fence.
Yeah.
The rabbis have to make a fence.
Ein Rab, because of Ein Rab.
He's gathering.
No, but you're not allowed to step.
There's dirt and there's salt. It's all mixed together.
Not allowed to pick up that.
He's separating.
Seems like he's separating.
Yeah, he's
sifting.
I guess he's not separating. He's gathering.
I thought you're not allowed to pick up anything on Shabbat.
Well, look. See the dirt all around there. What if he grabs some dirt and salt together? What's he going to do?
Yeah, but maybe he is.
Pick a stone off the ground on Shabbat.
That's muktzah.
Actually, that's all salt.
Well, salt is not muktzah.
That's all.
And yet, you're not allowed to gather salt because that's gathering on Shabbos. Okay.
The stone is muktzah, but yes, salt is not.
Why is it salt muktzah? You can't eat your chicken soup without salt. Now take a look over here. The next page.
What makes salt not muktzah?
Food is.
Did you ever have rock?
Because salt is food. How could food be muktzah, right?
Yeah.
Who can?
Somebody would take rocks.
Salt on Shabbos on the sand.
Put it in their soup.
You know you can't gather
rocks.
You can't gather salt. Even though it's not muktzah, you can't gather it together like this guy is doing in the picture. That's gathering on Shabbos. It's not muktzah. But it's Isser gathering together. Now look at the next picture. What's the guy doing? Reuven, Kufay and Dalet, what's the guy doing?
Collecting eggs.
Collecting eggs.
Yeah, it's not growing on the ground, so...
It's Isser Derabanan. Very good, Ephraim. It's not Isser Deraisa, but collecting eggs from a chicken coop, even though it's not an Isser Deraisa, it's Oive Isser Mama Midrabanan. It's Oive Isser gathering, collecting, the Rabbanan.
Who spilled the salt in the cookie?
Now look at the next page. Abba, look at the next page, Abba. Read. Muta Lasa Melech. Let's say.
Here's something practical.
Yeah, it's practical.
So you do mulching, you get your collar and you dip it.
No. Listen. It's a good thing we're here today.
No.
Out in the field, you're not allowed to collect salt. You're not allowed to collect salt out in the field. But let's say it's not out in the field. Salt spilled in your house. Look at page Kuf Ayin Hay.
You gotta pick it up.
Salt that spilled in your house.
Yeah.
It doesn't grow there, right?
Yeah.
You are allowed to pick it up, and it's not called ma'amar.
Why?
Tell me why. Why is it different than the guy in the field?
Well, this is not in the field.
It is not in the field. In the field is where the salt is found. Since the salt is found in the field, gathering it there is the place where it's found. It's Isser Mama Derabanan. Salt is not found in your living room,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So therefore, Avram, read the caption, please.
Mutar la'asof melech shelo b'makom ayeso.
It's permitted to gather salt. It's not the place where it comes from. Salt doesn't come from your living room floor, does it?
No.
It's not the place where it comes from.
No.
So therefore, you are permitted to gather spilled salt in your apartment.
Yeah.
Unlike you're not allowed to gather salt out by the Dead Sea,
yeah.
On the beach. Ah, because that's where it comes from. Ooh. See, good thing you came today, Reuven. You'll come every day. Chaparain samalachis. Oh. Okay, chaparain. Chap. Okay.
Keep smiling.
Okay, yeah. Now listen, here's something very practical. Remember, you can't eat your own gefilte fish unless you feed your behemoth first. You know that?
Right.
You can't eat. I told you the story. The Netziv, the wife misplaced the key to the chicken coop. He wouldn't let the family eat till they found the Muhammad to break the lock on Yom Tov.
Are you allowed to take eggs on Shabbat?
No. It's making bundles. Even one egg at a time is muktzah. If the egg is gathering, two or more at a time. You take one at a time.
You're not allowed to cook eggs anyway.
No, you can't. If you want to eat it raw, but if the egg was born on Shabbos, you can't take it because it's muktzah. If the egg was born on Friday, you could, if it's right, the egg was laid on Friday, you can take it to eat it raw. But if the egg was laid on Shabbos, you can't eat it, it's muktzah. But even though the eggs were laid on Friday, you can't take two or more because that's gathering. Take one at a time if it was laid on Friday to eat it raw. Now you can't eat your own cholent unless you feed your horse. But are you allowed to gather hay together for the animal on Shabbos? Ooh, no.
Oh,
look
question.
At picture Kuf Ayin Zion.
Yeah.
Ooh. Kufay and Zion.
This is not hay, this is more than
whatever it is, you can't. There are three types of gathering. You see, I'm reading Halacha Dalet. I'm translating. There are three types of gathering. You can't gather for a human. You can't gather for a behemoth. And you can't gather for what? Hasaka. For heating later, Matzah Shabbos. So you can't gather. So what does the caption say? Who wants to read it, Avram? The caption, no?
Ma'amar lebehema over al iser ma'amar.
Even though you have to feed your behema before you eat on Shabbos, if you gather, whatever the guy is doing here, he's gathering hay for the behema, he's over iser ma'amar. Who knows that? If you don't know, you have to be over. It's incredible. Listen to this. People that have animals. If you gather hay for a behema on Shabbos, you're oivel isa mama. You have to give them one stalk at a time. Or gather on Friday. Wow.
You can't bring a bundle of hay over to them?
If it's gathered before Shabbos. But you can't make the bundle on Shabbos. Even this guy is doing, raking together behema for the behemoth, oivel isa mama. Wow. You have to do it before Shabbos. Wow.
You know what he did? He's already fed him. He already took some bundles of hay to him.
Now look what
look what
the guy is doing in the next page. Ooh, that's Issa Daraisa. Avram, take a look what the guy is doing.
Pigs.
But look what he's doing. No, he's pressing them together.
Hamedabek
te'enim yachad. He presses te'enim together on Shabbos. Oyveb issa deraisa. It's an issa deraita. Even if he does it in his house.
Why?
What's the term about pressing?
He's gathering together.
Are you serious?
You didn't know that. Good thing we came today. Hamedabek te'enim yachad. Are you getting this now? Hamedabek te'enim yachad. Pressing figs together or dates together. Oyve issa deraisa. Ooh. Frightening over here.
What about? So, can you make a sandwich on Shabbos?
Of course, you can make a sandwich. But here he's not making a sandwich.
Pieces of bread with the cheese in between.
No.
The meat.
No.
Well, you need one piece of bread for the meat and another piece of cheese.
No.
It's becoming really
familiar. No.
You gotta be careful making guacamole on Shabbos.
Ultra orthodox.
Making guacamole.
No. It's not.
What's the difference between that pressing like two pieces of bread with a piece of cheese or something in between and pressing?
Because that's for eating. Here, you're not eating. Here, you're preparing it to make one cake out of it.
He's not doing this to eat.
And even to eat, you can't do it. You can eat one fig at a time. You can't press them together. Sandwich is not pressed together.
What's he doing this for?
First of all, you have to open up each fig anyways and check it and see if there's any.
Now, look at the next picture.
Well, first of all, what's the purpose of this thing?
He's putting a bunch
of figs together so you can sell the after Shabbos?
I don't know. You can't do it. It's pressing them together. That's the way to have things.
Right, but you're allowed to make a sandwich on Shabbos.
Of course. But not to do what this guy is doing. He's not making a sandwich. What are you comparing a sandwich? This has nothing to do with a sandwich.
He's like packaging figs, right?
He's gathering figs together. That's not making a sandwich.
And he's not. It's to sell the after shot.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. You know what to do. It's in their eyes.
Can you squeeze it? Can you squeeze
what?
The lemon on Shabbos?
You can't squeeze the lemon. That's schita. That's another iser. That's schita.
Right.
Squeezing a fruit on Shabbos is schita.
Except if you squeeze the lemon over fish.
Yeah, but even that you shouldn't do. Because if it runs off the fish, you're playing around issa deraisa.
Oh, really?
Because if it runs off the fish
and
gathers in the plate, what are you playing around with Russian roulette for? That's right. Why do you want Russian roulette for?
So what happens if you squeeze a lemon and it just goes right on the fish and a lemon seed falls on the fish? Can you separate that seed?
What? No, that's ball rare. Boy, that's
so what
ball
do you do?
So
you
eat together.
Yeah, then you take the seed.
Eat it together. Spit it out.
Spit the seed out.
Spit it out in your mouth. You take it in your mouth and you spit it out. Or you take off a piece of the seed together with the fish.
I think with the
you
bone.
Don't just take the seed itself. You take a little piece of the fish together with the seed. That you can do.
Or you can take the piece of a little fish off.
Like you can't take
and
the watermelon.
It kind of like slides
you
off.
You take a little piece of the watermelon together with the pit. So it's not borer. If you don't have gefilte fish, So you can't take the bone out. You take the bone together with a piece of the fish and separate it.
So what did you say about watermelon? You take what?
You can't take the seed alone.
Can't separate the seed from the watermelon.
No, you take a little piece of the watermelon off with the seed.
And then you
you take both in your mouth and you spit it out.
The seed.
Or so you spit out the seed. Or you break off part of the watermelon with the seed. That's not
Boreh. When you're spitting out the seed, why is that not Boreh?
It's not Boreh, because it's Derech Achila. As long as you take it in your mouth, then you can spit out the seed or the bone.
And that's not Boreh.
If it's in your mouth, you took it in together with the meat.
The garbanim.
And then you spit it out. That's not Boreh. That's Derech Achila.
What's Derech Achila mean?
So some kind of food dish.
Derech Achila. It's not
a food dish you eat. And they sprinkle spices on the top.
What?
Any kind of food dish you eat. And they sprinkle spices on the top of it.
Yeah.
You don't like the spices. You don't want the spices.
So that, don't just take the spices off. Break off a piece of the food together with the spices. And then move it. This way it's not Boreh. That's the simplest way. Instead of choking with the bone in your mouth, just take piece of the fish and the bone and take it off together. Not by separating. So you take a little piece of the meat together with the bone, put it on the side, so it's not Boreh, because you're taking the ochel and the psolos together.
Right. The
that's why the Jews
have a little bit of the good stuff on it.
So it's not Boreh. Verstehe? That's why Jews came up with gefilte fish. Not a joke. In the Middle Ages. Because people were over Boreh.
And then they learned...
Look, Ma, no bones.
And they learned how to fillet.
Now, page Kuf Ayin.
200 years to figure out.
Right, Kuf Ayin Tes.
Fillet what? He's making a bundle of petrozilia. That's really...
That's Issa Doraisa. The Oyo said that's an Issa Doraisa.
What's petrozilia?
Petrozilia, Petrushka. How do you say that in English? Parsley. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Is that cilantro?
I don't know. That's
not to use on Pesach.
This is Issa Doraisa.
Yeah,
so there it's making bundles. See what the guy's doing?
That's a bundle.
That's really a bundle. He's tying the petrozilia with a string that is Issa Doraisa. If you don't use a string, it's Issa Drabanan. Bad enough.
Yeah, The Omer is a bundle.
Omer.
That's making a
You're
bundle.
Making a bundle.
And you have to bring the bundle through.
And yes, done on Shabbos. They cut the Omer on Shabbos, made a bundle on Shabbos.
Oh, wow. It had to be on the
Shabbos. Even if the second day of Pesach fell on Shabbos, they had to cut the Omer and bundle it on Shabbos.
In the Beis HaMikdash.
In the Beis HaMikdash.
Not outside the Beis
HaMikdash. Of course not. Don't try this at home. Okay, so here have a case.
Extraterritorial.
That's right.
The field of the barley is
some. No, but they were Shluchai Bezdin. They were sent. Ephraim is right. They did this in a field outside, but it was done for the purpose of a carbon.
Yeah,
it was done. The Omer was brought.
Waving
on the Mizbeach, right?
There's lots of things they could do on Shabbos.
Right.
We can't do.
Ooh, now take a look over here. Page Kuf Pei. What's the guy doing?
Gathering.
Ooh, David, look at Kuf Pei. What's he doing?
What is he doing?
Gathering.
You'll see. Picture's worth a thousand words.
Gathering,
right?
He's gathering. That's Mamar on Shabbos.
Collecting, yeah.
Even though it fell on Friday. Now, if the fruit fell on Friday, Ephraim, it's not Muktza. But if he takes two or more, that's gathering.
Yeah.
So if it fell on Friday, what should he do?
Take one
at a time.
And eat it.
Take one at a time. No, even if you don't eat it. If it fell on Shabbos, it's muktzah. You can't even take one. If it fell on Friday, Mordechai, it's not muktzah.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't take two or more because it's making a bundle. Oibral issa mamar. Wow.
When you say it fell on Friday, it means on Shabbos?
No, right.
Now listen,
before Shabbos.
On Friday, then it's not Muktzah. If the fruit fell off on Shabbos, it's Muktzah. Okay. It's Noilad. Okay. If it fell on Friday, it's not Muktzah.
But you don't know.
But there's a problem with Mamar.
There's a problem because one of the men fell down on Shabbat. You don't know which one. Which one?
So if you take two or more, incredible.
Yeah.
If you take two or more fruit in your hand at once to eat them, Your oivel isha mama. Who knows this?
And if you only take one?
You take one. Then if it fell on Shabbos, your oivel muksa. Not mama.
What happens if it's on Shabbos but it fell on Thursday?
Then if you take one, it's not a problem.
Then it's no problem?
If you take one.
And eating it on Shabbos.
Because it didn't. Because when did it fall?
On Thursday.
So then it's not muksa.
You don't know which one.
Only muksa if it fell on Shabbos.
That's an old muktzah, fell on Shabbos, because it's noilad,
but you can't know. You
see, if you can't know, so you don't do it. Now here, so here, gathering fruit, what about if your fruit spilled in your living room, David? He turned the page, cooked Pebet. That's not in the field.
Well, that's like assault, right?
Yeah, well, let's take a look.
What a mother. A 50 mother or a grandmother?
Yeah. What's the problem with this here?
Gathering.
It's, you're saying if fruit falls on the floor in the kitchen.
Well, look. What's the picture?
Yeah, this happens. This is practical.
Yeah.
You can't pick that up on Shabbos?
So let's see what it says here. In the field, of course, it's Ma'ama, right? In the field, of course, it's Ma'ama. But this is in the kitchen. So read, Avram, read, no? Halacha Tes. Perosh Pazabayis. You gather fruit that's spilled in your kitchen. Eina Oivim Shemama. It's not Ma'ama. Why is it not Ma'ama? It's not like in the field. Because not in the place where it grows. Not in the field. Lefish Ein Ze'im or Rishon. The gamein zeh mokon gidulam. It's not where it grows.
Where it grows, yeah.
Achas heina v'achas heina ein l'asifam. But you shouldn't do it. It's called ibdu dechol. Ah, here have another problem, David. The rabbis bless their hearts. So it's not ma'amar.
Yeah.
Because it's not where it grows.
Yeah.
It's not where it grows. But there's another problem. It's called uvda dechol.
What's that?
Uvda dechol means it's acting Wednesday like. Monday afternoon, you act like this. Gathering stuff from your kitchen and fell. It's called an uvda dechol. What? That's what he says over here.
So you're not supposed to gather the stuff up.
Right, because uvda dechol. One at a time you can gather, but not two at a time.
Oh, you have to pick up one.
One at a time, right. One at a time. Because more, it's uvda dechol. Okay?
No, if you pick up two at a time, that
it's uvda dechol. It's not gathering because it's not where it grows. But it's uvda dechol.
It has the appearance of a...
It looks like you're doing a uvda dechol. You're doing a Monday afternoon type of thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you do one at a time.
You have to, if dirt gets on the floor on Shabbos, you have to sweep that up?
Yeah.
Because why isn't that uvda dechol?
What? Because it interferes with your onik Shabbos.
And...
Even if you might
do it. Bottom line, you have to pick this up. You just got to do it one at a time.
Right. So, but look at the next day. Here you have all these shell nuts on the table. Is that gathering? Bringing in the sheep. No. Kuf Pei Gimel, David. You like shell nuts? What's it called?
Sunflower seeds.
Sunflower seeds. Kuf Pei Gimel. Mordechai. Take a look at the picture. Garinim.
Garinim.
That's a spread on the shulchan. You're allowed to gather them up.
No. You have to do one at a time?
No.
Why is it not?
No.
Why is it not
Uvedo? No. Read.
Why is it not Uvedo?
Read the caption. Garinim. Spazru ala shulchan.
Efshal,
you're allowed to gather them up.
Yeah.
The ain't Baham is she moved to the chol.
Why?
The same reason why you're allowed to take out garbage on Shabbos.
Which is what?
It interferes with your onik Shabbos. So garinim that got spread on the table, you're allowed to gather them up, and it's not called ma'amar, and it's no uvda dechol either.
You know, this
either.
Thing, it interferes with my onik Shabbos. I can see where Reform rabbis he uses, you know, they could use that reasoning to say, it interferes with my onik Shabbos not to, drive to the...
Okay.
Not to drive to the 7-Eleven to
pick up an extra ham and cheese sandwich.
It's part of my
own Shabbos. No, seriously, I mean, if you were to use that excuse, it messes up with my own Shabbos. I mean, they could really take that to the extreme,
That's why we have guidelines. Look at the next page. No. What's the guy doing? Kuf Pei Dalet.
But this is harvesting, though.
No, he's not harvesting. This fell on Friday. He didn't pick it.
He's still gathering.
He's gathering. What's the guy doing? Hamam Rabbi Shinui. He's gathering with a change, not the normal way. Kigon shemama baraglov. He's gathering with his feet, which is not the normal way. Oyve v'isha mama derabanan. It's still forbidden as gathering derabanan.
Like turning off the light switch on your elbow?
Uh-huh.
Is he causing the lemons to fall from the tree with
no.
his hat?
Yeah, that's what
it looks like. It looks like
no.
it.
Yeah, lemon picker!
No.
He didn't.
No, he didn't pick it. No.
He's just picking up lemons that fell on Thursday, on Shabbos. With the shinoi, which means with his feet.
Which is not the normal way. So it's not an issa deraisa, because it's a shinoi, but it's still an issa derabanan. Doing with a shinoi is an issa derabanan.
Can you let your child play with the light switch until he turns it the way you want?
Well, the chinuch, no?
I know people have used
it. So what, he's putting the lemons in a pile with... Seriously, he's...
Well, read the caption, my friend. Amamar b'shinui.
Rabbi, if you leave the light on in your bedroom...
Can go...
Before Shabbat...
Yeah.
You come in and you can't sleep because the light is on. Are you allowed to flick it off with your elbow?
No.
So you have to sleep the whole night with the light glaring in your face?
You put on a...
A lot of times, if I can, I'll put like a blanket or a towel.
Put a blanket over your head.
Or over the light, if I can.
I once did that. You know, I once did that. I was in the hotel room. I put a blanket over the lamp, and it caught on fire.
I was thinking that.
Don't do that. Put it over your head.
No, but you can't put it... Heat rises up. You can't put it this way.
Light my fire.
You gotta put it like this.
What do you like?
This
Melada. Let's read. Avram, read the caption. Mamra Bishinu, he does gathering with a change.
Yeah, okay.
What he does with his regel. Oyve v'isha mama derabanan. How come it's not the raisa? Because the raisa you do with your hands. You do it with your foot, David. It's an issa derabanan. We practice rabbinic Judaism. You do it Bishinu, it's an issa derabanan.
Yeah, but then how does he get it into his shirt there? He's got to use his hands there. Even if he doesn't pick it up.
As long as he makes one pile with his foot, that's bad enough.
Oh, that's bad enough. But what's he doing on the second page there? Next page.
There, he's picking one at a time.
With his hand. But one at a time.
One at a time. It's still no good because he's still gathering.
This guy's in hot soup then, basically.
What? This guy's what?
This guy's got problems.
Now, look at the next. Ooh, this. What about toys, David? Look at Kuf Pei Vav.
Oh, this is practical.
Ooh, Legos.
Good news over here.
You have to pick this up.
Yes, read. Halacha Yud Aleph.
Why? Because of...
Let's see.
Disturbs my wife's...
No. Mutar b'Shabbat la'ama tzatzuim. You're allowed to gather toys on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Toys don't grow. The toys grow there. Oy begodim. Or clothes.
Yeah.
That are scattered,
why?
And it's not called Ubdu Dechol. Read the caption underneath, no?
Mishachek.
What does that mean? Games that scattered. Mutal Asway B'Shabbos.
Why?
Because it doesn't grow.
Mm-hmm.
Does it grow?
No, it doesn't grow.
It's not a growing thing.
So you have to pick up tools on Shabbos?
No, tools are Muksa.
So
toys
are not Muksa.
Because toys are used for Shabbos. Kids play with toys on Shabbos. What are you using tools for? Tools are used to build.
Can you build with that on Shabbos?
Well, I think we're going to get to that.
But you can use it. You can use a hammer to crack walnuts.
Crack walnuts, yes.
So if you can't find your nutcracker...
In fact, I remember Eliyahu Silver, he's one of my first Talmidim, when I was teaching him for Geirut, one of the questions that the rabbis asked him, and the Beis Din was, weren't you allowed to use a hammer on Shabbos? It's amazing. We went over this.
Mm-hmm.
So he said to crack walnuts and to crack coconuts.
Yeah.
You know what they said?
Yeah.
Many Jews, born religious Jews, don't know that.
Yeah. Well, why
they didn't know?
Of course they knew, but they said even many religious Jews don't know that.
But is it?
You allowed to use a hammer on
Shabbos? Any nut. Just any nut.
But you gave an example. You gave coconut, and we covered that, I remember. They were very proud of him, that he knew that. Can't take a hammer on Shabbos.
Well, it's like you can use a corkscrew to open a wine bottle on Shabbos.
Yeah, but a hammer is not a corkscrew. You're allowed to use a hammer on Shabbos. not to bang it on nail, but to crack a coconut or a...
Now, why... I got a question for you.
So let's see what this guy is doing over here. Go ahead.
I got a question here for you. Why is it with toys, you're allowed to gather them up...
Because they don't grow.
Okay. Oh, and with the tomatoes that fall on the floor, you only can gather one of the
tomatoes. Yeah, because tomatoes grow. Toys don't grow, do they?
Yeah, some do.
What?
that's the reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you have fruit or vegetables or something that fall on the floor, you have to pick them up one at a time.
Right.
Except if you got these little garanim that fall on the floor. Now they grow. Why?
Garanim. He says on the shulchan. He doesn't say on the floor.
Okay. What happens if garanim fall on the floor?
Good question. I know.
Yeah, I got it.
He says ala shulchan. That's allowed on the shulchan. He says.
Oh, same thing. If tomatoes fall on the shulchan, you have to gather them up one at a time.
What?
You gather them up a bunch.
What?
If tomatoes fall on the shulchan.
On the shulchan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's there in the shulchan on the floor?
Because on the floor, it's what? Uvda the chol, he says.
Whereas on the
table, not uvda the chol. No, shulchan is not uvda the chol. The shulchan,
why?
Because it's not over the chol, and the shulchan is not over the chol. No.
So then, if tomatoes,
the rabbis
fall,
make up the guidelines.
So if the tomatoes fall
on the shulchan, is not a problem to gather.
You gather up a bunch
on the shulchan is not a problem.
And it could be that the garanim fall on the floor. You got to pick them up one at a time.
No, I don't know.
What?
I don't know. It's on the table, it's not a problem, huh?
What day are you looking in December?
I think it's the Sunday before Chanukah. I think December 18th.
December 18th?
Yeah.
You going for Hanukkah also?
Yeah.
For how many days? You know?
10 days.
Chanukah.
18th to 28th, 10 days.
How much did the ticket cost?
$1,200.
That was the bargain, right?
That's a bargain ticket. Can you imagine without a bargain?
What, are you stopping in the Ukraine for 10 hours?
No. No, it's a direct flight.
Yeah, if you want to take a suitcase, that's an extra $600.
I know somebody just got one for $900.
Really? New York?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What airline?
Going
Delta.
When?
Delta.
Direct flight?
I don't know.
Oh, yes,
it's through Seoul, South Korea.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Better than Iraq.
seven stops.
Kuf Pei Test. Look at the picture here.
Iceland, Greenland.
You get on a FedEx. What is FedEx?
Yeah, look at a great Heter, Mordechai. You got to wake up for this Heter. Kuf Pei Ches.
Kuf Pei Ches.
Kuf Pei Ches.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Oh,
gotta
go
spay
it on
the
inside.
Okay.
Here, let's
get this. Give me the header.
Let's
see. Okay. Hoy
for
chalas air shabbos. You bake chalas air shabbos.
Yeah.
Or sha mine mafa. Or any baked goods.
Yeah.
And you leave it in the tanur.
Yeah.
You're allowed to open up the tanur oven on Shabbos and take them out.
Well,
the tanur is off, though,
of
right?
Of course it's off.
It's off.
You bake challis or any baked goods on Friday,
yeah.
And you leave them in the tanur,
yeah.
You're permitted to open up the tanur door,
yeah.
And take them out on Shabbos.
Well, why not?
All right!
Yeah.
Why not? It's just a story.
Why not? Why is it mucked up?
Because it's something that's electric.
No, but the tanur is off.
It doesn't work. It's cool.
The tanur is off.
The same thing about a car door.
Why can you open up your apartment door?
No, but a car door. Can you open a car door?
No. The car door doesn't have bread in it. Here you want the challis for Shabbos.
You left a loaf of bread in there. You're hollering.
But if the light's going to go on in the car.
You left your challis. That's a good question.
It's the same principle.
Maybe. I don't know. If you left your challis in there.
If you know that the lights aren't going
to
come on.
Right. Maybe you'll be able to open the car. The car, the, why is it different than the car? Than the, good question.
It's a good heter.
What? Okay.
Mordechai, wake up
this heter, yeah. Read the caption. Read the caption.
Why?
No?
Why do they give us that heter? Really, seriously.
Read the caption underneath the oven.
Mutar lahotzi
lachmaniot.
Yeah.
Matanur b'Shabbat.
B'Shabbat.
Yeah. Amar. It's not a problem gathering.
What's gathering? What's gathering?
You're gathering the challis together in one bowl.
Oh,
it's not gathering. So you're allowed to open up the door of the oven.
The real question is, isn't that whole oven mooks or something?
Why is it mooks? So you're not, it's off.
It's turned off. There's no light going to come on. It's just like a cabinet.
It's a cabinet. It's like a closet. It's like a bread box.
Right. Like an electric drill. That's turned off also on Shabbos. You're not to touch it.
No, that's what I asked about the car. If you said because the challis and you can get it out. What if you left your challis in the car? There's no light to say comes on.
It's a good question. Whether you allow, if you allow to open the oven door, can you open the car door to get your challah? That's a good. It might be Marisayan. Are you allowed to take on
too, if you
no
have a big party?
But if what? The car is
why the Marisayan? That's good that you make.
He said if the car's inside the garage, no one sees it.
Oh,
no, because you have it's a big party, and you have 20 women all around there, and they see you opening your oven with bread, fresh hot bread.
No, but seriously, you're allowed to open a dishwasher also on Shabbos, right? If it's off to get clean dishes
of course
in the dishwasher.
It's like opening a cabinet door.
Really?
Yeah, some people just throw the dishes in the dishwasher
it's
all
like
the time.
It's like a cabinet door.
Okay.
Now, here another question. Look at Page Kof Tzadik. You're allowed to bake matzahs on Yom Tov. You know that?
You're allowed to bake matzahs on Yom Tov.
You're allowed to bake on Yom Tov. But look at Kof Tzadik. What's the problem? What's the guy doing here? Ava, read the caption, no?
Looks like he's doing it right before Passover.
Right. On Yom Tov. Matzah is beyond Yom Tov. A guy bakes matzahs on Yom Tov.
You're allowed to bake matzahs on the first day of Passover?
Well, why not?
You're allowed to bake on Yom Tov.
Wow, on Passover?
First
well, any Yom Tov you're allowed to bake.
The oven
has
to be turned on.
You're allowed to take out all of the matzahs and put them in one box, and it's not called ma'amar. So they get there.
You're allowed to do the whole thing? You're allowed to make matzahs on the first day of Passover?
Why not? You're allowed to cook
it. Do people do that?
Well, why not?
I thought there's a special thing about eating matzahs that are made like a couple hours before Passover starts.
How does the oven come on? He has Muhammad Ali to turn on the oven. So he bakes matzahs on Yom Tov, which is allowed with a timer. You're allowed to gather them and put them in one box. Eight matzahs in one box, and it's not called what? And it's not called mama.
Yeah,
why not?
You better gather, but everything else you do.
Well, what's the problem? You're allowed to bake on Yom Tov.
All the malachas you're allowed to do to make matzah.
No, melisha ve'elech. You know, on Yom Tov, melisha ve'elech, that's allowed. From kneading and on is allowed to do on Yom Tov.
Some of these are broken. Isn't that separating when you're taking certain ones?
Why?
Because
not separating, just putting them in the box.
No, but you're not taking the broken ones.
Who said he's not? He is taking the broken
ones. All right, everyone have a good day.
Zai gizun. So that's it. So you're allowed to put them in a box, you're allowed to bake on Yom Tov, and you're allowed to arvam, you're allowed to what? Put them in one box, and it's not called what?
There's certain things you're forbidden to do, like on Yom Tov. Like
Cut the grain on Yom Tov?
No, okay.
Melisha ve'elech. From Yom Tov, melisha ve'elech. From the kneading. Yes, from the kneading
from
stage.
From that point on, you're allowed to do everything.
Melisha ve'elech is allowed on Yom Tov, not before Lisha.
And you put it in the, but you can't obviously light the fire. It's got to be fire transferred or something.
Right, you got to be from fire to fire.
Right.
And it's not called what?
From
it's not.
You're allowed to make matzo on
or bake bread on Yom Tov from the eating stage
or not.
Why not?
On the first day of
this guy looks religious.
He's probably doing it before Passover.
There's no problem, mamar.